from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll have a special two-part interview with local artist Anila Aga, who won the 2014 Art Prize in Grand Rapids.
I'll chat with Dave Lawrence of the Arts Council of Indianapolis about Creative Renewal Fellowships and a brand new initiative for 2015. And we'll have that arts calendar we call...
What'll we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR.
The annual Art Prize competition held in Grand Rapids, Michigan, featured 1,536 artist entries representing 51 countries this year, competing for over $500,000 in prize money. Indianapolis's own Anila Aga won the People's Choice Award and tied to win the Juried Award, the first time that the same artist took both the top prizes. Travis DiNicola invited Anila into our studios to talk about her winning work, intersections, and about her art prize experience.
Anila, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Travis.
It's
my pleasure.
You're very welcome. I am so excited to have you here. I got to just first off say congratulations to you for winning, the biggest art prize ever. And what I mean by that is the art prize is really an incredible event that's put on in the city of Grand Rapids each year. This past fall was the sixth year for it. It takes place at the end of September, beginning of October. And each year they have literally thousands of artists submitting their work, including their work, showing their work all over the city of Grand Rapids in places where people can see the work for free, whether it's outdoors or indoors, in galleries and museums, in created spaces, in coffee shops and pizzerias and hotels. And Grand Rapids Art Prize has an element to it that's really kind of fun in that people get to vote for what their favorite artwork is. And mm-hmm. It's all types of artwork. I mean, sculpture and performance and painting and drawing and photographs and such. And there's huge prizes, which we'll talk about, that are given away, both for the popular vote as well as for the juried vote. And I was fortunate enough to – I've been able to attend Art Prize the past few years – taking a group from the Indianapolis Museum of Arts Contemporary Art Society up there. And when we were up there last October, one of the pieces all of us, of course, wanted to see was yours, which was on display at and still is on display at the Grand Rapids Art Museum as part of Art Prize. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, I can't wait to have Anila on the show to talk about it. And at that point, I didn't even know you were going to win. I mean, of course, we were hoping. But anyway, so was that a fair sort of condensed explanation of what
Very
Art Prize
good.
Is?
Yes. Excellent.
Well, thank you. So your piece did something that no other piece has done before. I mean, first off, Art Prize is the biggest art competition like this in the world with the biggest prizes. Mm-hmm. And this year they were giving out two top prizes. One was a $200,000 prize for the juried vote, and the other was a $200,000 prize for the popular vote. Mm-hmm. And you essentially won both. I mean, you won popular and split juried, right?
Yes,
and
I did.
A $300,000 prize, Anila, that's awesome.
Thank you very much.
I mean,
that's quite nice.
It is quite nice. We'll talk about that, too, in a minute, too. But let's talk about your work first. I mean, this was the first time you had competed in Art Prize, right? Mm-hmm. And how did you hear about it, or what made you decide to want to be a part of it?
Kevin Beist is, I think, the director of Art Prize, and he came here to do a lecture at the IDADA event some 4 years ago.
Okay.
So that's how I found out about it, and I thought it was a really interesting idea to do that. And so I thought I should, you know, look into it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as time goes by, you kind of think of things that you could send in, and then other things get in the way. So I was delayed in competing in it last year. And so I was determined to do it this year.
Mm-hmm. And in the past, I should say, I mean, other local artists, Quincy Owens, Kyle Ragsdale, other artists have been a part of mm-hmm. it as well in the past. So this was your first year competing.
Mm-hmm.
The piece that you created, and the title of it is Intersections. Mm-hmm. Had you created that before, or did you create it specifically for Art Prize?
Oh, no. This was something I had intended to do. You know, I got a really nice grant from Indiana University mm-hmm. called New Frontiers. And what it does is that it allows for an artist or, you know, school of, you know, anybody who's in the arts and humanities to try something that they haven't done in their practice before. Okay. So I decided to go this route because I was very interested in creating a space that would be almost considered a sublime space where people could walk in and feel like they belonged.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an intent that, and the grant that I received was in 2012.
Okay.
And it took me 15 months to create the piece. And then once it was done, I started sending out applications to, you know, and proposals to show it in different parts of the country and internationally, too. And so this was the first thing. Actually, earlier this year, I had submitted it into another competition, and it did go viral earlier this year, but I didn't win anything then. And so I was like, okay, you know, I have to keep trying, otherwise, you know, I mean, all artists know how to deal with rejection, I think. So that was something I just toss it in a box and say, okay, I'll move on to the next one. Well, and then I applied for Art Prize and I got in and I was very happy.
Well, let's talk about the piece itself. It is quite a large scale. I mean, I've seen your work in other situations. You do often deal with light and shadows, but this was a whole room, a whole space, and it's centered around an enormous cube. Describe that to me.
It's a laser-cut, black lacquered cube that was constructed out of wood, and it's got a single light source inside the cube itself. So it casts shadows outside, all around it, top, bottom, sides.
And the cube itself is about how big is it?
It's about 6.5 feet square.
6.5 feet square. And the patterns that are cut into this wood lacquer, tell me about them.
I visited the Alhambra in southern Spain some 3 years ago, and I was very fascinated by the Alhambra Palace, which is, you know, just an amazing jewel of architecture, design, art, everything. And when I was there, I was walking around and looking at the way people were interacting with that space, and it fascinated me. And I've always strived in my own practice to deal with this idea of poetry or something, to create something poetic. And so this was like, I took about 1,000 photos. I came back home. I started doing some hand cutting. I was really fascinated, and I've always been fascinated by shadows, how they're cast, what direction they're cast. And so once I started looking at the photos and, you know, starting to think about what I wanted to create with this, it became all about the shadow. You know, like the original and not the original. So, you know, our bodies are the original and then we cast shadows that are not the original. So that's something that always fascinates me. It's also dealing with the idea of post-colonial culture now. And so what is authentic and what is not authentic? You know, and how people appropriate from different places. So a lot of design comes from other parts of the world. And then we make it our own.
Are any of the, I mean, patterns that are in the cube traditional Islamic, or are these directly from what you saw in Spain?
Are
variations on that?
They are variations on that, because what I did was, once I started looking at the photos, and just to explain a little bit about the Alhambra Palace, it's composed of wooden carvings as well as tile work, as well as, the ceilings are all carved, painted, frescoed. It's just like an amalgamation of art, delight. And so I decided to take parts and segments from different parts of the space. So if you can imagine a palace the size of the Metropolitan Museum, you know, and then picking out different motifs that I liked and then I combined it together into a single pattern.
Okay.
And so it is appropriated from the Alhambra, but the ultimate design became my own.
Because it feels very sacred, but yet it's not quite identifiable. And I have to describe, I mean, the experience of walking into this gallery at the Grand Rapids Art Museum, you walk in and this cube, as you said, about 6.5 foot cube, made out of lacquered wood, is hanging suspended in the middle of the room. And it's almost like it's floating in the air. And then you've got this incredibly bright light that's hanging in the very center of it, that's casting shadows across the entire room, the floor, the ceiling, and so that the whole room becomes part of the art. And what's really amazing is the way that the shadows sort of hit the corners almost perfectly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as you walk in, it was an incredible effect, because as people would walk in the room, you could hear them get quieter in the way they spoke, almost as if they were entering some sort of sacred space. It was a really physical experience for the viewer to walk in there and to experience that. I want to take a moment here just to remind you that this is Travis DiNicola on The Art of the Matter, and that I'm chatting with Indianapolis artist Anil Aga, who won the 2014 Art Prize. I got to ask, how bright is that light in the middle of the cube? Because it's stunningly bright, it seems.
It's about 600 watts.
Wow. And it really, I mean, the shadows that it casts are long and clear and so defined.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you notice, the ceiling and the floor had the most clarity because they were closer. And then the walls, because the space itself was about 44-foot square space.
Yeah.
The shadows became a little as they
just
went further away.
Yeah,
and so that was also the beauty of it. Like something that's closer to you and is more, you know, about you is clear to you. But things that are not so clear of usually the things that we fear. And so that was also part of why I wanted to do this, to create the space where people become anonymous in a sense, but they're also immersed in this whole entire piece, so they become part of
there,
the art,
right? Because the shadows are being cast on them, and in fact, and then their bodies cast shadows as well. So, so it changes all the time. And I'm not sure if I can describe this well, but the entrance is sort of a cut opening, a large entrance space into the gallery. But there's a wall right behind that, and so what happens with the shadow is, even though it's projected fairly clearly on all the walls in the gallery, at the entrance, the shadow, of course, keeps going and then is projected on the sort of farther wall that's kind of, you know, blocking the entrance. And you get a sense that this piece could just keep going on forever.
Yes.
Another thing I really liked about it was that, and this was mentioned to me, I was there with Carter Wolf on the trip. And Carter, of course, used to be the director of the Art Center of Indianapolis, Indianapolis Art Center. And he mentioned how you could really only look at the piece directly if you were in one of the corners where enough of the corner of the construction was sort of blocking the light so that you could stare at it directly, because otherwise it was almost too bright to look at directly, you know? And that also became sort of an interesting experience.
Well, also, like, if we think about the sun how it's a single light source, but it's so bright that it casts all this beautiful light on us and it keeps us alive on this earth. And then, but it's a single light source. And so that's also very interesting to me, to think about how the world religions are always talking about, you know, a single God. And then, but everybody's God is a little different or the iteration is a little different. And so I wanted to bring everybody together to not think about that particularly. So when you ask me whether the patterns are Islamic in nature, they come from, you know, every child that grows up in the Islamic world is familiar with these patterns because, you know, in the Islamic world, you're not allowed to make human figures and stuff.
Sure.
So they started to do a lot of the geometrical stuff, which in itself becomes so beautiful. So in a sense, it's the same idea as Christianity, where, you know, the lived experience is not something to be very happy about. In Islam, it's kind of the same thing. You want to rise above the lived experience. And that in itself is also very interesting to me, that how can we be in a space or in a place in our heads and follow a religion that doesn't allow for the lived experience to be part of it.
We'll take a break here just for a moment to remind you that you're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI. Travis DiNicola has been chatting with Anila Aga, Heron Art Professor and winner of the 2014 Art Prize competition. We'll now return to the second part of his interview.
It's a very complicated thought and complicated piece. And yet, mm-hmm. On one level, the piece is very sort of simple.
Yes.
But yet, obviously it had an enormous amount of appeal for so many people, mm-hmm. To win both the popular and the juried vote. What do you think? I know you talked to a lot of people who saw and experienced mm-hmm. the piece. What were you hearing as far as why it appealed to so many people? There were more than 1,500 works of art on exhibit this year at Art Prize competing mm-hmm. for the prizes. Why do you think yours stood out?
I think, in my opinion, I think that it was because it sort of seemed luminous and hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And, with all the wars that we have witnessed in the last 5-6 years and also the natural disasters that have affected the world, people are looking for something to brighten their day or look towards hopeful future. And also the economy that took such a bad dip here in the United States and elsewhere in the world. I think everybody is looking to see something that would point towards a more hopeful future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing about art. It can raise you above yourself, and you can kind of reach a common goal. And I think that maybe this piece was able to do that in people's minds because it was intensely beautiful, but it's also intensely poetic.
Anila, let's talk a little bit about your experience at Art Prize as well. Mm-hmm. All the artists that submit work, they have to essentially find a space that's willing mm-hmm. to show them. And certainly the most coveted spaces include the Grand Rapids Art Museum because mm-hmm. it's just such a great space. And even though Art Prize as a whole isn't curated, individual spaces can curate what they mm-hmm. show. And, of course, the Grand Rapids Art Museum wants to show the best of the best. So when did you find out that you were going to be able to exhibit this installation at the Grand Rapids Art Museum?
Did that
affect your work at all?
I would think totally because that was obviously my first choice. Yeah. I looked at the spaces, I did my research, and then I knew what my minimum requirement was for the space, and mm-hmm. it had to be about 30 foot square.
Sure.
Or 30 by 40 or whatever. But mm-hmm. it needed to be at least minimum 30. And so when I sent in the request, I sent it to a bunch of different places. I mm-hmm. sent it to the DeVos building, I think. I sent it to a couple of churches.
Sure.
I sent it to the Graham. And then some other people contacted me about it. But when I looked at their spaces, I was like, this is not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And there may have been an occasion where I could have decided that, the space that I'm being given is not large enough to show it to advantage, and I may not have done it. But I was extremely lucky. Right away, 2 weeks into the thing, I got an email from the curator at Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Cindy Buckner.
And Graham is the Grand Rapids Art Museum, yeah.
And she was lovely about it, and she asked me some very pertinent questions, and mm-hmm. she asked me what my intent was or my artist statement. And she sent me a small paragraph about her curatorial idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is tailor-made for this
piece. That's
awesome. It was just like somebody had written that paragraph for this mm-hmm. piece. It was about, how we can get out of our comfort zones and, experience something that's not so comfortable.
That's very fortunate that you were able to be there. Because, that was really, I went to a lot of the different mm-hmm. installation spaces and gallery spaces. And really, the only one I can even imagine it in is at the Graham.
Mm-hmm.
So during Art Prize, it's a 3-week-long event. Were you up there for a lot of it, for some of it? You were, of course, still teaching your classes here at Heron. So I imagine you couldn't be up there the whole time.
No. I made it up for 3 weekends mm-hmm. and 1 full week.
Okay.
And so that was really, really quite nice. The preview stuff started happening before it even went live.
Yeah.
And so I went up for that a few times. But it was pretty hectic because I could only take a week off.
Mm-hmm.
And, I care about my students. I didn't really want to be gone for so long that they would suffer. And so it became a very balancing act
I bet you were busy.
And then writing to them and telling them, you know, okay, you need to do this, this, and this while I'm doing that, you know, at the Grand Rapids Art Museum. It was just, but the experience was pretty amazing.
Well, even from the very beginning, you were getting some great reviews from people up in Grand Rapids, both professional journalists as well as just people attending Art Prize about, you know, you got to go see this piece. I mean, that had to be pretty exciting.
It was very exciting, but I was still, you know, I'm a very stoic person in real life. I just think that, you know, when things happen, they happen. You just have to deal with them and, you know, move on. And so even when people were saying all those and I was reading different reviews, I was like thinking, keep calm, you know, nothing may happen, but at least you got the best opportunity to show this piece at this awesome, amazing museum. And so I was quite happy to just be able to do that.
Well, and then throughout the process, they do narrow it down to the first group that gets the highest votes and finalists and all that stuff. So you knew that you were progressing. At what point did you really think, man, I have a chance that I could actually win this? When they announced your name?
Like I said, I didn't want to go there because the disappointment would have been too intense. And so, you know, they asked me on the day that I was coming in for the awards night. I was driving in, and it takes about 4.5-5 hours to drive. And so they Sia, one of the young women who's with the PR department at Graham, she asked me if I could write my acceptance speech, like 3 or 4 sentences. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. But then I wrote her, like, you know, just thank yous to everybody who had helped me and get along on the way. And so I sent it to her. And that was probably the time when I really thought about it.
This could happen.
Yeah.
So, but it still had to be a huge surprise when you found out that you won the popular vote and won part of the juried vote. I mean, to get both is such an incredible compliment because,
it's
both your peers and the public. I mean, that's huge.
That is wonderful. And like somebody asked me earlier a few weeks ago about which one was more important to me. I think I can't really pick between the two because, you know, to be able to reach across to the popular or the people at large is like an amazing feat. And often not many artists are able to do that.
Right.
You know, so, but then to be acknowledged by your peers and by the art professionals of the world kind of elevates, you know, what I've been doing and authenticates it, validates it. And so I can't pick. It's like a total balanced.
Well, and in the past with the Art Prize, there's been a lot of division, I would say, between, I mean, originally it was just a public vote, and then they added the juried part of it. And even with that, there's been a lot of division between what the jury liked and what the public liked. And there's been some beautiful pieces that the public have liked, but also some pieces people have really questioned, you know, about the quality of the art in the past. And so, I mean, it is kind of amazing that, you know, this is the first time that essentially everybody agreed.
Yeah. I mean, like, wow, it was quite an honor. I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, I couldn't have imagined.
Does this change your career? Or
I think it's a game changer, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, you're still going to keep teaching at Heron.
I hope so. If they'll have me. But yeah, it's sort of like it validates what you've been doing all along. And for the last 15, 20 years, I've been making art. And so I'm just happy that it's been acknowledged on such a public forum. I think the magnitude is immense. And so that's what's amazing. I'm still getting emails. I'm still getting people writing about it. And so,
and not just regionally, but I mean across the country and across the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm getting like requests from like places like Korea and China. I actually did do an interview for an online blog that's called Art Radar that's based out of China, Armenia, you know, like Turkey.
Well, you know, I don't think it's any exaggeration to say that in many ways, I mean, what you created is one of the most important artworks created in this past year by anybody.
And thank you.
That's a really cool, amazing thing, you know. So so I got to ask you, you know, 300,000, that's nothing to sneeze at. plans for that?
Well, I'm going to take, hopefully, my sabbatical next year. Mm-hmm. So it's going to pay for that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to make some more work next year. So my intent is to put it back into the to my art practice and generate more work.
That's awesome. Do you think you'll try to compete in Art Prize again or take some time off from that maybe?
I think I may step back and reevaluate what I, you know, because Art Prize is it's an amazingly wonderful event, but it's also intensely competitive and very stressful.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
I mean, like knowing that you're participating and then everybody wants to talk to you or, you know, and then there's some...
I mean, that's a very type of different experience of what most artists have.
We live a very solitary life, you know. We live in our studios, and it's hard to be constantly on the, you know, on the go talking to people. I was happy to talk to people, but I'm also a very shy person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people don't believe that, but I am.
Well, Anila, I just have to say again, congratulations on winning Art Prize and on creating such a stunning and important work. I know that the piece is still on exhibit right now at the Grand Rapids Art Museum. What are the future plans for the piece? Can you share any of that with us?
I have a couple of inquiries about showing it in different two locations right now. One
Excellent.
Is in Texas and one is in California. And so I'm kind of discussing it with them right now. Nothing concrete yet. And then I have also had some requests for acquiring it. So that's the other thing that I'm kind of working through. And then currently I'm building another smaller piece for an exhibition in the Middle East.
Wow. Okay.
That's going to be in stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's and actually I went back to Grand Rapids to get it cut so that I'm giving them back some of the money.
Oh, that's really great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really
We thought that it would be appropriate.
Well, I really hope that in some form Intersections gets to be exhibited here in Indianapolis someday.
It would
be wonderful.
So that
we can all see it. That would be terrific. Listen up, gallery and museum directors. most important piece to come out of Indianapolis ever. Show it now. Anila, again, congratulations. And thank you so much for coming in on Art of the Matter today.
I really appreciate it. And thank you for letting me ramble on.
Travis DiNicola with artist Anila Aga, who won the 2014 Art Prize competition. Anila is also an associate professor of drawing at the Heron School of Art and Design. For more information about Art Prize, including photographs of Anila's winning work Intersections, visit artprize.org. For more information about Anila, visit anilaagas.squarespace.com. That's spelled anilaagha.squarespace.com.
Come in. I heard a knocking at the door there,
Travis,
Sharon.
I see a little furry nose and some little paws around the edge of the door. Who's coming in? Oh, it's the groundhog again.
And again. I didn't realize that groundhogs could knock on doors, but
that's why I was quieting. Tiny, tiny little fists for knocking.
Sure. Are you trying to tell me that Groundhog Day is coming up?
I am. I'm just trying not to repeat myself. And we have ways for you to celebrate the end of January. We're closer to the end of winter on that calendar we call
What Do We Do? That's right. Even if you're not in Punxsutawney, you can still celebrate Groundhog.
Whether you see your shadow or not, right?
That's right.
Wait, which way does it go? If he sees his shadow, winter is over, right?
If he sees a shadow, then we'll have a short winter. If he doesn't see the shadow, which generally means it's overcast, then we're going to have a much longer winter.
Ooh.
So let's hope for a sunny day.
All right.
Yes.
Send your sunny thoughts to Punxsutawney.
There we go. Hey, I don't know if speaking of groundhogs, but...
this ought to be a good segue. I can't wait to hear where this one goes.
It is the last weekend to go see Good People at the IRT. And if you've not heard about this, it has had some of the best reviews for any play I've heard about in quite a long time that's been locally produced here. And so it's Good People, and it's basically a play about a single mother who's sort of down on her luck, but there's a lot more to it than that. And Constance Macy has the lead. And I can't wait to go see it because everyone keeps talking about how great this is. So last weekend for Good People at the IRT.
Fabulous. Hey, speaking of theater, Stephen Yockey, whose play Octopus was on stage at the Phoenix, 4 or 5 years ago, young, up-and-coming, very smart playwright, he has a work that is premiering this weekend on stage at Theater on the Square. It's called Wolves. Here's the plot. This playwright loves dark, dark themes and picking up on ideas from fairy tales and legends and myths. When ex-boyfriend Jack brings a strange man home to woodland-obsessed Ben's apartment, the narrator can barely keep a lid on the looming violence. This deconstruction of the Little Red Riding Hood story is a darkly comic, predatory fairy tale for adults, exploring the conflation of sex and fear in modern culture, the comfort of lava lamps, and the dangers of a handy axe. I'm not making this up.
TOTS.org
if you want to read more about that and get your tickets for Wolves by Steve Yockey at Theater on the Square.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Hey, start planning now to go see Gregory Hancock Dance Theater's Unplugged, which is going to be starting February 6th, running through the 22nd at the Academy of Gregory Hancock Dance up in Carmel. And it is featuring their cabaret, Out of Darkness and More. This is where they do sort of a very smaller, more intimate performance. You can get more information at Gregory Hancock Dance Theater's website. And again, that opens on February 6th. Should be a lot of fun.
Very good. I hear that there might still be a place or two available in ArtX Fit, Action in Art, which is a series of classes and workshops at the Indianapolis Museum of Art. It's actually coming up on Thursdays, February 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th from 6:30 to 8:30. If you're an IMA member, the cost for these classes is $60 total. If you're not an IMA member, $85, but you might want to just go ahead and join. Muscle up your art knowledge through this new 4-week series. It's a change of pace from traditional art lectures. It's interactive, it's an immersion course, and it blends hands-on and lecture components in inventive and unexpected ways. You don't have to have any art experience or art history knowledge to sign up for these. You can find out more at the IMA's website.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Hey, the Symphony, Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, that is, continues their Russian festival this weekend with Tchaikovsky's 5th and next weekend with Shostakovich 7th. So that is going to be really cool. So if you are enjoying some classical Russian music, it goes well with this cold weather, I think, then definitely check out the ISO this weekend and next as they wrap up their Russian festival.
And I want to put in a plug for something that's next month at the ISO. This is one of their Pops concerts. It's Casablanca Film and Live Orchestra. A little bit of trivia. You know, he never said, play it again, Sam. He just says,
that's right.
Play it, Sam.
Play it, Sam.
So ignore what Woody Allen's trying to tell you. But it's a fabulous love story. If you've never seen Casablanca or you've never seen it on a big screen or you've never seen it with a live orchestra, and not very many people have, put this on your calendar. It's coming up Friday the 13th. That's February 13th. There's a coffee concert at 11 and a nighttime concert at 8. Also Saturday the 14th at 8 and Sunday the 15th at 3. So a chance to take your Valentine to see Casablanca with live orchestra at Hilbert Circle Theater with the ISO.
Nice. That'll be very cool. Hey, Sharon, I know you love Groundhog Day, so I have to tell you about this one. So this weekend, Saturday the 31st at 2 o'clock out at Book Mama's, that great little bookstore in Irvington, at 2 p.m. you can learn all about Groundhog Day as Indianapolis author Peter Welling reads his new book, Andrew McGroundhog and His Shady Shadow. And they will be, he'll be signing and reading the books, and they'll have special groundhog cookies, not made out of groundhogs, but I'm sure.
I hope not.
No, and groundhog tea, and the books are available at Book Mama's. You can get more information at bookmamas.com. That sounds very fun. You should be there, Sharon.
I love it. Hey, you know, it is still winter. It's cold, and regardless of what the groundhog tells us about the rest of winter, here's something you can do to warm up a Friday night. This coming Friday, February 6th at 8 o'clock at the Palladium Tango Buenos Aires. It's an Argentine dance company, internationally recognized as the most authentic and uncompromising representatives of the tango. So a lot of fun. Make a date night of it and go eat some spicy food. Might as well.
Very cool. That sounds very good. Something else, if you're looking for some other international dance, the Ragamala Dance Company is performing on Saturday at 8 p.m. at Clues Memorial Hall. And this is featuring some really neat traditional Indian dance with jazz. And sort of combining the two into some really interesting work that deals with improvisation and gets some really classical, beautiful dance as well. So this is at Clues, Saturday at 8 p.m.
A couple of art exhibits that are coming to an end. Remember New Art 2.0 at the Idlejorg. That is on exhibit through February 8th. It's an exhibition of prints, I should say, created by Idlejorg Fellows and contemporary Native and non-Native artists, a blend of landscape, political, and environmental statements, as well as portraits, something for everyone, about 80 limited edition prints, and they're all for sale with affordable prices. That's at the Idlejorg through February 8th. Don't forget, your time is short to see Georgia O'Keeffe and the Southwestern Still Life, which is up at the IMA through February 15th.
Very cool. Hey, if you didn't get enough magic last weekend when we had the Illusionists in town as well as the Winter Magic Fest, a lot of great magic going on. And if you still need some more, well, then why don't you check out Indie Magic Monthly Show. This is the show that is organized by Taylor Martin each month at Theater on the Square. And it is coming up on Tuesday, February 3rd at 7 o'clock. And this month featuring Steve Hafner, who is a mentalist from Louisville.
Really, what's a mentalist?
Mentalist, a mind reader, Sharon.
Oh,
he will read
okay.
your mind. In fact, he's reading your mind right now.
There
you go. And this is Steve's first appearance in Indianapolis, which is pretty cool. So it should be a lot of fun, as well as Dean Whitlock and some other magicians who will be performing too as part of Indie Magic Monthly, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. at Theater on the Square.
Fabulous. Don't forget, First Friday, next Friday, lots of great things going on throughout town. But that's all the time we have. You can learn more
on indiearts.org/guide, the Arts Council of Indianapolis' Indie Arts Guide website, or listen to us next week on
What Do We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
The Arts Council of Indianapolis is always looking for ways to keep creative people in our city. Their president, Dave Lawrence, came in recently to tell Sharon about the newest opportunity for Creative Renewal Fellowships and a brand new initiative that partners artists with neighborhoods in transformational ways.
Well, first things first, congratulations on securing funding for another round of Creative Renewal Fellowships. That's extraordinary.
Thank you. We're very excited. And of course, this wouldn't be possible without the generosity of the Lilly Endowment. So I want to give a special thanks to them. But, you know, it's just a testament to their belief and our belief in this community and the creative community that we're able to offer this again. So we're thrilled.
For people who might be a little newer to town, weren't around when these were launched in 99, take us behind the idea of the Creative Renewal Fellowships.
Certainly. So, you know, we want to make sure that the creative individuals in Central Indiana, artists and arts administrators, are continuing to do creative work. And so we want to make sure that we give them the opportunity to go away and do whatever it is to renew and refresh their artistic output. And so that can take the form of, you know, travel. Sometimes it's studying with a master artist in whatever discipline that they're in. But just that they get to decide that experience for themselves. And, you know, we tell the applicants all the time and those who get them, it's okay to be a little bit selfish here, to really think about what it is that you need to renew yourself. And then they're off and running with that, and it's a two-year fellowship. And so this is our 14th year of the program.
Wow, amazing. One of my favorite all-time projects, and I know you can't get into favorites because they're all your children, and they're all beautiful, but a lighting designer who thought seeing the Northern Lights would transform the way she approached lighting design.
Yes, you know, I love that one. I also love there was a theater director that decided to clear her mind completely. She was going to do a vision quest and a fast in the desert for 5 days.
Wow.
Not something that I would do for a creative renewal, but you know what? That's why everybody gets to choose their own. So, yeah, the ideas have really just been all over the board, and it's so exciting to see that. You know, them taking those artistic leaps and doing what they need to do.
And it's probably implied by the fact that it's that the word renewal is in the title, but you do have programs for emerging artists. This is not one of them.
Correct. This is for mid-career or seasoned artists that have been working in the field for at least 10 years or more. You know, one of the things that we really try to fight with this program is burnout.
Mm.
And this is an opportunity to step back, take a deep breath, and get back to those artistic roots. And, you know, even for arts administrators, it's important to do that, too. And they're an important part of this program as well. So, yes, these are for sort of mid-career or, you know, full career artists. And we do have a fellowship program for emerging artists that's different. But this is really reserved for those that are needing that creative bump mm-hmm. at this point in their career.
Now, the Creative Renewal Fellowship has spawned a new idea, an enormous new idea. I'd like to know where this one came from. So describe it for us and tell where it came from. Whose brainchild is this?
Well, this is the new fellowship is called the Transformational Impact Fellowship. And this is the result of 2 years plus of thinking and brainstorming and a lot of meetings with our dear friends at the Lilly Endowment, who are funding this initiative, this pilot year of this program. We work a lot of us do in this community on transformational projects in neighborhoods and communities. And oftentimes the arts are sort of added at the end. And what is so incredible about artists is they're amazing problem solvers and they're amazing entrepreneurial thinkers. And so one of the things that really drove us in our thinking about this program was, wouldn't it be fantastic to put artists at the center, at the beginning, at the genesis of this, of community revitalization, and really make sure that the arts are central to that work? The other thing, and we sort of look at Transformational Impact Fellowship as a great companion to Creative Renewal,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, so the artists and the arts administrators go away on Creative Renewal, and we say that there doesn't have to be any sort of end product with this. You know, there's no result. The result should be Creative Renewal. You don't have to do an exhibition of work at the end, or you don't have to have a new, you know, choreographed piece. Many of them do. This is fantastic, but that's not an end product. But we know that at the end of Creative Renewal, there's a lot of great ideas that are on the cutting room floor or, you know, sketches that have never left the sketchbook or those sort of things. And usually these our Creative Renewal Fellows are really good at spending every last dime of that Creative Renewal Fellowship money. So we know that there are some big ideas out there, some huge ideas that can really be transformational to neighborhoods and to communities. And we want to lift that up and celebrate that and enable that activity to take place with artists at the center of community revitalization.
So I realize that as we're having this conversation, as our listeners are hearing it, it's still very early in the process. But is the Arts Council identifying some communities, or will that be the artists bringing ideas of communities to you?
That's a great question. So the just the mechanics of the Transformational Impact Fellowship is we will be awarding two $100,000 fellowships to artists or artist teams. And we're going to let them tell us the communities in which they would like to work. Mm. We're going to work very, very closely with these artists and or artist teams on identifying neighborhood resources and community groups and other arts organizations that can help them carry out their vision, whatever this might be. But we really want to leave that up to the artist to help us, figure out where they would like to carry out this project. And I want to be clear, too, that we're not just talking about a piece of sculpture in a neighborhood. This can be a music project or a dance project. It's not just the visual arts. We want to see artists of all disciplines show interest for this program, and we want to see what great ideas are out there.
Is there anything like this going on anywhere else?
I don't believe that there is.
Yay us.
Yes, yay us. There's nothing like the Creative Renewal Fellowships, and we've taken yet another leap with the transformational impact. So the national colleagues that I have been sharing this information with, their mouths are hanging open when I tell them about this program. So we're very proud to continue to innovate in terms of artist fellowship programs nationwide.
So I hesitate to ask this next question because some of our listeners will be people applying for the Transformational Impact Fellowship. But can you give some examples of the kind of program you might imagine coming out of this?
Sure. I'll give you one example, and I am not going to be able to recall off the top of my head where this is from or the community that this was in or the artists involved. But another sort of thinking about this program that occurred, I heard about a stage director who paired up with an architect, and they designed an entire theater, proscenium, wings, seating area, everything, that could fold up onto the back of a semi-truck. And they could drive it to neighborhood, unfold the theater, and put on theater productions for neighborhoods. And I thought, now there is a transformational idea, bringing the arts to communities and involving artists and others to make this happen. And so I thought, we can do that here in Indy. Not that specific project, but we can do that kind of real big thinking right here in Indianapolis.
Absolutely. Geographic boundaries, Indianapolis, Marion County?
That's where we would like the programs to take place. This is open to Central Indiana artists. So okay. Artists in Marion and the surrounding counties are eligible to apply for this and the Creative Renewal Fellowships as well.
Mm-hmm. What kind of conversation, and the timetable for this is?
We're looking at this right now. Again, this is a pilot program.
Right.
So, we're going to really be studying this as it goes on and figuring out tweaks and changes so that if we're able to continue moving the project forward with the generous support of the Lilly Endowment, it will take into account all of these things. But right now, it's a two-year program, a two-year fellowship, just like the Creative Renewal Fellowship is. So, we hope that by Start With Art this fall, we'll have awarded the two fellows, and then they will be off and running in terms of program creation. We probably won't see anything really hit the ground until late 16, early 17,
sure,
would be my guess, because we want to give plenty of time for project development and aligning partners and making the projects happen. But, who knows? It'll be very interesting to see the type of projects that we get.
What kind of commentary would you like to be hearing a couple of years from now about this program?
That's a really great question. I think that, we have seen such wonderful things start to happen in this city, and it's because there's a lot of work going on, not just in the arts sector, but across all sectors in Indianapolis, about just wonderful accolades for the city. And I want to see the conversation about the arts take an even more front and center approach. Can you believe this is happening in Indy? There's such buzz around Art Prize and some of the things that happen around the nation. And we need to have more of that conversation happening about Indianapolis. And I hope that the transformational impact will allow us to say to the world, look at what our artists do and how they are at the center of making Indianapolis a better place to live, work, and play.
They have a seat at the table.
They do.
I'm sure it must feel terrific and be a great source of pride and personal gratification to be an architect of these programs with your colleagues. But do you ever have those moments when you're like, I'm going to quit my job so I can apply for these things?
Yes, I have at any time probably 5 to 10 different ideas for a creative renewal for myself. Aww. And all of those things. No, I appreciate your comment. You know, I think that one of the real joys of being an arts administrator, and I think that your listeners that share this line of work can appreciate this, is the absolute job satisfaction I get from seeing artists soar. And, you know, to have a hand in that just makes my work all that much more worthwhile.
Sharon Gamble with the Arts Council of Indianapolis President Dave Lawrence. To learn about Creative Renewal Fellowships and about the new Transformational Impact Fellowship, you can visit indiearts.org. Again, indiearts, I-N-D-Y, arts.org. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. I'll have a look at an exhibit of historic photos of Garfield Park.
I'll chat with Jane Fortune about her new book that looks at the women artists who helped Florence after an historical flood.
And I'll focus in on John Krause's photography exhibit. Plus, we'll have that arts calendar we call
What Do We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.